In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit.
Amen.
You may have heard in my accent that I'm actually not from this part of the world. I come from Australia, and when I was growing up in Australia, we were very much influenced by British humour. Most of the TV shows came from England, and it wasn't until the 80s and into the 90s that really American culture started to infuse itself into the Australian entertainment scene. So one of the great comedic figures in my life was Monty Python. And I don't know if you know Monty Python, but it was a great TV show that was based in England with three really excellent comedians. And there's a great movie called Monty Python and the Holy Grail. And it's sort of one of their cornerstone productions. The movie set in the medieval times. And there's a great scene in the movie where King Arthur confronts the Black Knight. And the Black Knight is standing at a bridge over a small stream. And King Arthur walks up to the Black Knight wanting to cross the stream, but the Black Knight's challenging him. So King Arthur takes his sword and he swipes and cuts off the arm of the Black Knight. Blood pours out, this great scene, this huge torrent of blood coming out of his arm, or out of his shoulder where his arm used to be. And so the Black Knight just then challenges him again and says, come on, do your best. And so King Arthur cuts his other arm off. So now the Black Knight can't hold a sword, standing there with no arms and his legs. And he says to King Arthur, that's just a scratch. Come on, have your best shot. So King Arthur then swipes again and cuts his leg off. And the Black Knight's then hopping around defiantly challenging King Arthur. It's just a flesh wound, he says. Come on, have a go. You're not crossing this bridge. And then King Arthur cuts off his last leg. And all that's left on the ground is a torso with a head that's still yelling abuse at King Arthur. As King Arthur then has no challenge, he crosses the bridge and walks off into the distance. And the Black Knight's still challenging him. Come on, I'll bite you on the kneecaps, he says. It's a sort of a comedic take on the very vivid language that Jesus uses in the gospel today. This idea of cutting off limbs and still being able to preserve the whole, the body, the soul. I was a chaplain before I was ordained here, and I was on call one night, and I was called to a gentleman's bed, and he was a diabetic, and he was in hospital to have some toes amputated, and he brought up with me this gospel passage. It's better to have a part of your body cut out than to go to hell. And he firmly believed that having his toes removed would prevent him from going to hell. And no matter what I could say to him, he did not shift from that position. And that was fine, that was his position. But I think he was sort of missing the point a bit. The language that is used by Jesus in this very vivid gospel passage today, I think is a way of trying to shake up the disciples. If you remember back from last week's gospel passage, the disciples have been walking with Jesus and arguing amongst themselves as to who was the greatest. They'd sort of forgotten what they were there for. And, you know, we all have a tendency to sort of try and promote ourselves within a group. Jesus didn't finally challenge them, though, until they were back in the house in Capernaum. And when Jesus challenged them as to what they were saying, they were silent because they were obviously embarrassed about having this discussion and argument about who was the greatest. And then Jesus picks up a child. and puts the child into the middle of their teaching circle and says to them, if you want to be great, you need to welcome a child, and in welcoming that child, you are welcoming me. And it's a great image for us about welcoming and welcoming those that aren't seen in society. Children in those days weren't seen. They weren't persons. They weren't acknowledged in any way. And so Jesus' point was to put this child in the center to say, these are the people that you need to welcome, because these are the people whose society doesn't see. But as today's gospel picks up the story, it immediately starts with John speaking about other people in the society who were going out and exorcising demons from people. And for me, I sort of reflected on that, and it sort of was like John's so uncomfortable with what Jesus is saying, he's got to change tact. He's got to draw attention to something else and away from what that teaching moment that Jesus had. But Jesus pulls it back to the children. And the first thing he says is, do not put a stumbling block before these children. And then goes on to use the graphic language of, if something causes you to sin, cut it off, move it away, get rid of it. Come back to the point that Jesus is trying to make. Come back to being at peace with one another and to looking at after those that are in the community around us and not ourselves. It's important as Christians in a community for us to understand what Jesus is saying in these two gospel passages from last week and this week. It is incumbent upon us to be the eyes and ears of Christ in the world, to be the body of Christ as we are when we come together and worship, but when we go out into the community, we are Christ acting in the world, and it is incumbent upon us to welcome people. And is it incumbent upon us that if we find ourselves putting stumbling blocks before others, if we find ourselves ignoring others or turning away from others or being critical of others because we are not really understanding who they are and what they're doing, then we need to take stock of ourselves before we can really continue on in our lives. It's part of our journey in life, I guess, to always be in this state of assessing ourselves as we are out in the community, assessing and caring for others. In the epistle that James writes this morning, he reminds us the importance of prayer. And I think prayer in our lives as Christians is really the foundation of our faith. What we do this morning is the Great Thanksgiving. It's a prayer of thankfulness as we share the Eucharist amongst each other. We have our own private devotions each day, hopefully, and connect with God as we journey through life each day. We come together in prayer groups and healing services and all other ways of praying to God, to implore God to be with us, to have the Holy Spirit work amongst us as we are out in the community doing our work. What we do here and how we go about our work is the sign of our Christian discipleship. It's what marks us in the community. It's what people see of us as we are doing our work. And it's important for us to reflect on these two gospel passages. Jesus was making the point to his disciples that they need to take radical steps in sacrificing maybe a part of what they're doing in their lives to preserve the whole, to preserve the soul, to preserve the most important part so it doesn't get lost to the world. And for us, that is critical to our lives, to preserve ourselves as the body, to be cognizant of those things that distract us from Christ's core message of love and welcome. And so these sacrifices that we make are small sacrifices in the course of our greater life of service to God. When we are able to bring others into the fold, when we are able to, as James puts it, bring sinners back, we cover over a multitude of our own sins, and we cover over a multitude of their sins, because we are knitting back into the body of Christ those that have been lost. And it is incumbent upon us to be always in that state of mind, to be always in that prayerful state of looking for those that are lost and helping them to come back into the fold. And sometimes in doing that, we need to sacrifice parts of our life. And I implore you to pray about that today as you leave this place, so that you carry it on your heart as you go out into your week. Amen.